What's so great about? What's so great about?
Great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now look, I'm going to stop you there already.
Oh, okay.
I just lied to you.
I lied to you just now.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been better. I'll put it this way.
Come on, dish.
Do dish,
Terry.
I am pretty burnt out, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah?
It's been a rough start to 2022. So, you know what I was saying? I had the old COVID the start of the month. And then I was saying that, like, my daughter Bonnie wasn't sleeping at all.
Yeah.
So my wife had gotten pretty run down up like at that point from the lack of sleep, and then it turns out she like was running a fever and had to go to the hospital, which was another
Jesus.
Big shock, which was something we weren't really expecting.
She wasn't there for like a couple of days, was she?
Yeah, she had like really bad neck pain and headaches and, you know, spiking temperatures and stuff. So it turns out, did a bunch of tests on her and she had viral meningitis.
Yikes.
Which is just fucking mental. Like,
I made the mistake when you told me that during the week. I Googled.
I sent you a voice note.
Yeah. And this is classic. This is right. Terry sent me a voice note. I didn't know the contents of the voice note. I didn't know the serious subject matter. But he just sent me one and I just seen the time. I just replied, 1:56. It's like, you'll be sorry you said that when you listen to it.
I was pretty happy with my retort.
Yeah, it was good.
So yeah, you know, like, we're recording here on a Sunday. Is today Sunday?
It's Sunday, yes.
So it's almost been like a week and a half in between records because of all this stuff that's been going on. It's been just a bit fucking crazy, like, you know, a mad situation that you would never think would.
There's no accounting for that. Really,
no, there really isn't, and they couldn't tell us how she got it, or, you know,
They
say it comes from being run down or whatever like that. Yeah. Like, so, you know, but it's a very wide spectrum. Like, we went to the doctor on the Monday, and it was she was told it could just be a viral thing, can't treat it, so here's time off work, rest up.
Yeah,
and then by the Friday, you know, she was in the Friday night, like, she was in the. Admitted to stay overnight.
And how is she now?
getting better, just still really tired and stuff. Yeah. But like, that's all you can do now is just rest for the next week or two. Like,
and so it was just you and Bonnie.
Yeah, and like, so that
TC
was
being at home,
trying to hold down the fort and, you know, keep everything going, stuff like that.
I recall specifically when Joni was just a baby. And, like, I'd go to work and, like, you know, you'd be tired after work or whatever. But on a Saturday morning when I was like, okay, I'll get up because she's been up, you know, or she's had her, you know, all week. And I get up. And by 10 a.m., I was like, I am shattered here.
What time is it?
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I've been up for 10 hours anyway, which probably are at that stage. But it's no picnic.
No, they're little handfuls, these little people. But it was, I have to say, like, friends and family were great pitching in and, you know, kind of, if it was either coming here to visit with Bonnie and play or, like, you know, bringing stuff up to Faye or, you know, telling us to come down and they'd do dinner for us and stuff like that. Like,
that's good.
Just a bit of a mad situation. Thankfully, you know, touch wood that it was... all okay anyway, so
fingers crossed. Jesus.
So yeah, So, you know, I'm gonna
go on, Terry.
Crack open. Crack it. Can, huh?
What is it?
I'm back on the Kinnegar.
Excuse me?
This is the Big Bunny East Coast style IPA.
Looks very yellow to me.
You haven't seen it yet.
I saw a bit of it. Looks yellow. Looks like pish.
Tastes like pish.
It is pish. Go on then. Cheers.
That looks good, huh?
Pretty good. I mean, the head is not great, but that's fine.
A couple of those IPAs, huh? That's good.
Good, is it?
Yeah.
You go on.
No, it's good.
Out with it, Terry.
I'm comparing it to one I had yesterday, which was the Indian Pale Ale, the Kinnegar Scraggy Bay Indian Pale Ale.
You're throwing a whole lot of words at me right now.
That's top of the line. This one is okay. It's good.
Okay.
But I would go back to the Scraggy Bay in a heartbeat.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
I wouldn't be turning my nose up at it.
Kind of sounds like you're turning your nose up at that.
I'm going to drink it. Kinnegar.
Kinnison, or whatever it is that you're drinking there.
What's been going on with you?
Nothing, to be honest.
You had a week and a half to get some sort of content.
I mean, work problems. You don't want to hear about that.
No.
It's been fairly chill at home. I started watching...
Hello. Now it is the content that people come for.
Two things. I've seen the latest season of Always Sunny. I noticed it's on Netflix now.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got to it yet. Is it good?
Excellent. There's like... Well, I don't know if...
Did you watch the whole thing?
I did.
You get when they're in Ireland?
Yeah, there's like 4 episodes of them in Ireland.
Oh, excellent.
But yeah, it was excellent. It was really good. And I was kind of like... It came... I mean, I obviously would have watched it anyway, but I was only saying to you last week that I seen that on YouTube, the Always Sunny podcast, because they started filming it now, the last 2 episodes. And it's just the 3 of them, like Mac, Charlie and Dennis, just sitting around the table. But like, because the show's been going on for so long, like they just are their characters, or their characters just are them. So it's just kind of like you're watching another episode. Like the dynamic that they all have in the show is kind of the same in real life. I just thought it was...
That's interesting.
I just thought it's really good, really worth a watch. But yeah, season 15, really good.
I mean, it's always good, isn't it? I'm trying to think what the...
There's one really good one in Ireland, like the second one in Ireland is...
What was the last season before this? Was it... I'm trying to think... There was the big episode where like Mac does the dance.
Yeah, I think that was 2
Was that 13 or was that 14?
I want to say 13. Because I think he had a season 14 of being openly gay, you know, post-dance.
Yeah. But you're going that long, it all kind of blends in, doesn't it? Like,
but yeah, excellent. They've still bloody got it, I'll say. I've also started watching a popular show called Succession.
Hold
everything. I'm only literally halfway through the second episode. Yes. Halfway through the second episode.
What do you think?
It's okay so far. It's okay. Definitely. There's nothing's happened yet. You know what I mean? Some of the jokes, some of the conversations entertaining, but like there's no big incident.
What about Tom, huh?
Which one is Tom?
Tom is like Shiv's fiance. He's the guy from... He's the tall guy that's not Greg.
I'm only picturing Greg.
So there's cousin Greg, and then there's Tom is like... Matthew McFadden is his name. Right. I'm trying to think what you'd know him from.
Speaking of,
Frost Nixon.
No. They were raving about him on that Always Sunny podcast.
Yeah.
Like
Tom is...
And Howardon was saying, like, I've never seen anyone do comedy the way he does comedy in that show. Like, it's such a unique style of comedy.
I haven't seen it yet.
I was looking out for this guy Tom after hearing that, but...
But like the first episode, I think he has some like line to Greg, because like he sees Greg as a threat immediately. And he says something to him.
Oh, is he the guy where he's like, just kidding, not really.
Yeah, that guy.
He is.
That's Tom.
He's really intense.
Yeah. But he's also like really like oddly weird. Like, yeah, you know, you don't really know what's going on.
You don't
on.
Know where you stand yeah, with this guy.
But he's really good. Like,
but yeah, so I mean, I don't know what I'm expecting.
Stick with it.
Okay. I don't know, like, I don't know enough about it. It's a little too real world like than I would usually watch, you know, like corporate America sort of show.
Yeah, but it becomes so, okay, like everything becomes so heightened. Okay. The smallest thing, like getting to a meeting, becomes a life and death situation almost. Okay. Like, you know?
The so. poor bastard, the main guy, this little Kendall? Snap boy. Yeah. this loser.
But Kendall, and you got like Roman, who's, you know, yeah, Kieran Culkin, yeah, who's
been
excellent.
Good. He's been good. Yeah,
he is. Like, I was saying this to Faye, that like he is the best actor at being some. Like, he's deadly, but I'm like, I fucking hate him.
Yeah,
I never like him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, he's so good at being hateable,
being unlikable. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really funny. Like, some of his stuff is really funny, but I'm always like, all his actions, I'm like, I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, like there was that scene in the first episode where he said he'd give that kid $1 million and he didn't.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I didn't. And you're ripping up in front of him. I was like, oh, I thought I was going to like this guy. I was like, okay, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. They're all pieces of shit.
But that's what I said straight after. It's like, well, it looks like they're all pieces of shit in this.
There's like, so like far, Greg cool. and Tom would be the two that you'd be like, oh, they're almost innocent.
Yeah.
But not really.
It's just the smallest pieces of shit. But yeah, I'll stick with it. I've heard nothing but amazing things, so
it gets
okay
as it goes on. It gets so much better.
I have a little beef with shows that don't give me more, on especially dramas that don't give me more season one, episode one. Like, you gotta, like, what am I here for?
I mean, it's a good first episode. Like, it's the okay. dad.
It was good. I enjoyed it. But like, I wouldn't be like, wow, I have to tune in for episode two.
Well, speaking of dramas.
Go on.
I'm watching the drama that is in vogue at the moment.
Yes.
A little thing called Yellow Jackets.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Have you not? No. Wow. We live in very different Twitter spheres, let me tell you.
Sometimes your Twitter sphere pops into mine, and frankly, I don't care for it.
Too much Willem Dafoe for you, huh?
I still, it's, and like, it's not even like a lot of the stuff that you like, I do think is funny or worth a like or whatever like that. But I still know it's you before my eyes make that little 2 centimeter adjustment up the screen. I was like, here's a Terry one.
Yeah, of course.
Yellow Jackets. Let me see. Okay, soccer trip. Okay.
It's a girls' soccer team. Okay. They crash land in like the woods in, I don't know, Colorado, Canada, maybe.
Yeah.
But it kind of keeps cutting between when they crash land as teenagers to where they are now as adults, and it seems like somebody from their past is like basically trying to blackmail them, or, you know, bring things to the surface again. Because literally halfway through the first episode, not even halfway through, probably like 10 minutes, it's like they're eating somebody to survive in the woods. Like,
that escalated quickly.
Yeah, but it's fucking deadly.
Juliette,
man.
Lewis,
it's
Christina Ricci.
Christina Ricci is fucking deadly.
She is great.
But I was like, what happened? Like, why wasn't she the biggest fucking movie star?
Was she a bit? Going. Was she a bit of an oddball? Was that like?
I mean, she plays an oddball in this, but like,
I got the impression that she wouldn't want to play the Hollywood game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we failed her as a society, I think.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate.
She's fucking class.
Yeah, like, she's great.
But it's really, really good. It kind of gives you that, like, that sweet, sweet Lost
that you so crave.
Yeah, that scratches that itch that I've been missing.
Okay.
I would highly recommend it.
What's it on?
It's on Sky Atlantic or whatever. Okay. You know?
All right then.
So you could sure you could series link it or.
Okay, I'm thinking of, I'm going to be getting rid of Sky very soon.
Now TV?
I don't know. Dodgy Box maybe.
I mean, you keep saying that, like, well, who do you know that has Dodgy Box?
I know someone who knows someone.
Okay.
So But I just don't watch it. Like I use Sky for the apps, you know, like it's got all the apps on it. Because my TV is...
What do you mean, the apps? Like
Netflix, YouTube, Prime, Disney.
But you get that on your TV anyway, no?
I get Netflix and YouTube on the downstairs TV. And that's it.
But, hold on, but you have a phone and you have a Chromecast.
Yeah.
So why do you need it on the TV?
Well, I use a Chromecast upstairs.
You live... what year are you living in, man?
Well, I didn't need to bring it downstairs because I had it on Sky. But now, the only thing I use Sky for is those apps. So
it's crazy.
Getting rid of it.
Let me into your house for like half an hour.
I'll reconfigure your whole system.
Do Jim Carrey and the cable guy, I feel like.
Just a sledgehammer, just smashing down a wall. Yeah.
Here's the sweet spot right here. There it is.
I've never seen Terry this way.
I've also been watching, like, Faye has been watching Euphoria.
Oh, yeah.
Another It drama at the moment.
I haven't seen it, but I keep seeing an ad for it popping up on my...
It's pretty good, I got to say. Mm. I've kind of been popping in and out on it. Zendaya is the main star in it. It's all of these teens that are kind of doing a load of drugs.
Do they have gifts?
In high school. No.
Oh, okay.
It's just regular, we're fucked up teens in...
Okay.
LA maybe, I don't know.
Good.
I will say it's a very striking show, like visually and musically. It's very striking.
Is there songs in it?
Not like a musical, but like song choices.
Right. Needle drops.
Like there was an episode where somebody was getting an abortion and they were like, sorry, a smushmortion. And it was like, they put out, they're like, do you want to listen to music? And it was like, yeah. And then it was like, my body is a cage by Arcade Fire. And then it went into this whole big montage that was like very apt for everybody else that was going on and stuff. And I was like, I like this. And then at the end, there was some kind of like somebody did a bit of drugs. And then it was like this whole kind of like flash mob type thing started happening. But I was just sitting there and I was like, wow, that's really well done. You know, I was very impressed by it. Okay. Zendaya is very good in it.
Okay.
It's got a couple of like people, teen actors that I've seen be good in other things that, like, I don't even know their names, but I know them. I was like, oh, that's the girl from The White Lotus or whatever.
I've only seen an ad for it, right? But the ad is the cheapest made. I don't know if you see it on Instagram or something like that, but like it's just like, hi, I'm Zendaya, and then like on a Zoom call, and then whatever, who else from it. Like they just got these people to call in from Zoom and say, hi, my name is this, and then they showed a 5-second clip of someone like kissing, and then it's like Euphoria streaming now. Like, well, no, then that's what you're giving me. No, but I haven't heard this review yet, so you know.
I'm asking Faye, like, and what's this one? Why do they hate each other? Whatever, you know, trying to like plug me in.
Is this one of those ones that you got sucked in? You know, when
your missus is watching
something, and then you're like, this is shite. And then,
it would also be something if I had taken the time to sit down and watch it myself.
You would have liked
it. I would have gotten sucked in. Yeah. You know, okay. If somebody had recommended it to me. If only somebody had recommended it to me, Andy.
Can I ask you, does anyone recommend things to you? Or are you already ahead of them? Seen it, mate.
They recommend stuff to me, and I've already maybe contemplated it and been like, nah. And then they're like, it's deadly. I'm like,
no.
Is it though? Yeah, exactly. Like,
wonder what that feels like.
Maybe you recommend something to me, huh?
I do recommend things to you.
What do you, podcasts. Like, you don't recommend, you never recommend
TV. I recommend more music. I'd recommend music to you. Or do I even do that? I mean, if I did, it would probably be more that. That new
speaking of music, I've been wearing out the vinyl player.
A little bit of William Joel today, by any chance?
My lord!
How good!
Unbelievable! Like, again, it was like that was one I did not buy, but it was in that box that I was sorting through.
Yeah.
To give back to my dad, and I was like, well, I can't not keep this one. Like,
personal favorite.
Just like, oof.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite Billy Joel song, Terry?
Maybe now, Only the Good Die Young.
Oh yeah, I love the little shuffle at the start. Come out, Virginia. Don't let me wait. Yes.
I tell you what, like, though, listening to it today, which I kind of forgot about it. Like, there was two. Like, Big Shot was one that fucking kicked the door in. And then The Stranger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking good,
hell,
man.
Yeah. And then The Sleeper was always for me All About Soul. She waits for me at night. And like what you got there?
It's actually not on this vinyl. Oh, I'm looking at here.
Oh, that one was on the Piano Man one, but that was the one that I had myself a double CD of that as a kid.
What a great picture.
I know. Look at it there, like you said, hey, what can I tell you?
What can I tell you? It's great.
It's brilliant.
Right amount, look at his, he has like the right amount of bags under his eyes.
Yeah.
Here. You know,
he's
like,
probably.
He's been through stuff.
He's probably my favorite blue collared, you know, artist, singer, songwriter. I would go with Billy over The Boss, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I think we'd had this discussion on our old podcast.
Where did you stand on that?
I think Bruce is my guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always been my guy.
Pound for pound, though. Like, maybe Bruce gives you higher highs, but I think pound for pound, song for song, Billy Joel's got a better success rate and a more diverse success rate.
You say that, but then, like, if we picked 11 tracks each, like, there's 11 Bruce tracks that would knock your socks off. Yeah, we should.
Billy versus The Boss.
Oh,
the
hello.
Ultimate showdown.
Okay, that's a Patreon app right there.
That'll be a bitch of an edit, though.
Good luck for you.
12 of the finest of each of them. That's 24 songs. I do enjoy those top fives, but man, I'm glad that we're doing the Eternals this week. Assuming
you're going to put loads of zingers from Kingo in.
Sure.
Fucking Kingo.
Is that it? Do you want to talk about this Mouvoir?
I got one more again.
Go on.
Because you know we were talking about me being a big Scream head lately.
Yes, big time.
Big, you know, biggest Scream
Huge
head.
Huge Scream head.
Yeah, right here. And I noticed on Netflix they added Scream 4 recently, which I hadn't seen in a long time. And I was meaning to, you know, reappraise.
You're really getting your Scream filling.
This January is Scream season, man. I kind of went back and forth on it. I loved it at the start, dipped a little bit in the middle, and then by the end of it, I was like, is this a masterpiece? Is this brilliant? I think I probably evened out about 3.5 to 4 stars on Letterboxd. I can't remember.
Okay.
The bits that don't work for me, and I have realized since the second Scream movie, the bits that don't work for me are the Courtney Cox bits.
Right.
That don't work. Like, there's a bit in it where, like, her whole arc in it is like she is not a reporter anymore.
Gail Weathers.
Yeah, and she still kind of wants to try and solve the cases and stuff like that. But there's a bit where it's like, she's arguing with, like, Alison Brie's character in it.
Oh, she in it?
Yeah, and she kind of, like, dresses down Alison Brie and then, like, walks off. And she's like, I still got it to, like, herself. And there's this, like, weird, like, score underneath. Like,
let me ask you this question. Did Scream 4 come out in around 2002?
No, that was Scream 3.
What was Scream 4, like 2004?
2011.
Oh, so that was a good few years after.
Yeah.
So they've already done the... We're going back.
Well, that's
sort of
the thing.
Because that was a real, like, this is what the audience will love, this zinger. Like, I still got it. Like, yeah, she's back. You know, it seemed like that was there. But this,
like,
we're
that's
back.
What 5 is as well. You know what I mean? Like, 5
really,
is like.
They're double dipping.
4 is funny in that, like, they try and, like, bring in the... There is these new characters in 4, definitely. You know, new youths or whatever.
Yeah.
But the... Like, say, Dewey is the chief of police in it. So he's integral to the story.
Yeah.
You know, all these killings going on. Gail is his wife. and Sydney is back in town promoting a book or something. In five, it's like they're all so peripheral. They're barely in the movie. Right. They come back for like 20 minutes at a pop. Like
their fans are doing that in movies now, aren't they? Like with Ghostbusters.
But this is the new thing. This is how you make the new one, is you bring in some old people and kill them off and pass the torch to the new people. Like, you know?
It's like, what's the term in wrestling? When someone's handing over, someone's retiring and they go out.
You always retire on your back, they say.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, yes, that's it. Yes.
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 Okay, and Scream 4, would you say 4 stars, if you're being generous?
3.5, 4 stars. Okay. There's some really good
3.75 stars.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that bugs me about Letterboxd. You can only give half stars.
Ah, well, I mean, it'd be chaos if
no, just give me quarters. Three and three quarters.
Like. Quarters?
Yeah.
No, take quarters.
Not six, seven.
I said seven. Very good. Okay, Terry.
Yeah. So that's been my feel. I've been trying to desperately take my mind off things by
watching things.
Content. Yeah.
Well, speaking of, Terry, you would have had a great opportunity then to watch our little movie that we have been... Sorry, something's popped up on my screen, completely distracting me. The movie that we have to watch this week, Caliber. Now, I have very, very limited buff on this. Okay,
have you got any?
It is a 2018 British thriller film, written and directed by Matt Palmer. No wiki. It was released 29th of June 2018 on Netflix. That's it. Now, right, here's my IMDb. The first and last scene were shot on the same day.
Wow. That's really what you're tuning in for here.
Caliber 2018 is a Netflix original film. I mean, seriously. But
it's you know what? Like, I wish they would just make a little bit of the effort.
I know, like how, like, what if you're actually a fan of this? Like, what am I supposed to do with that?
What if you want more of this, like?
Now, I have a, because this was actually it was sent in to us by someone on Patreon. This was a Patreon. Now, I'm trying to find the exact comment, so just talk amongst yourselves. But you know what, while I'm looking here, Terry, why don't you tell me what you thought of this different sort of movie?
I will say... excuse me.
Oh dear.
Sorry. I would say this is the type of movie that I would love to be able to, for the most part, write. Like, there's a lot of good stuff. I'd say the first 25 minutes I thought was fantastic. Up until they get to the inciting incident, or just after the inciting incident.
Yeah.
I thought it was fucking great. I think the script is quite clever in how it kind of finds ways to keep our characters up. It's kind of stuck there. But I also wish there was more.
Yeah.
You know
more
what I mean?
Incident,
I
wish instead of just the one incident.
Yeah, and like... like, I don't know if it would have worked better to stretch it over like the course of one really long night.
Yeah.
To give you that feel of like, oh my God.
In real time with them or something.
Yeah. But all in all, like, I thought it was a pretty, like, it made me feel a lot of things when I was watching it. Like, you know,
that's
so
good.
That's a good plus. Thought the two actors.
They were good, yeah.
I knew the main lad from... was his name Vaughn?
Vaughn.
He was in there. That
Jack Lowden.
He was in Fighting With My Family.
Right.
He was the brother. He was Paige's brother. In, you know.
Oh right.
That movie about the wrestler Paige.
Yeah.
He was the one that didn't get picked for the tryout to go and be trained by Vince Vaughn at WWE Performance Academy.
And the other guy, his friend. His name is Martin McCann from Northern Ireland. The Irish Times listed him as number 48 on the list of Ireland's greatest film actors.
I mean, he was very... immediately I was drawn to this guy. Like, I was what's his deal? No, but I was like, he's giving me like Michael Fassbender vibes or something. I was like, he's really like has a presence.
Now, I will say this before we continue, right? This was, I found it here. It was pitched to us by a patron, Ryan McCackern. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right. I'm sure I'm not. And he had said he saw it and was worth a watch. So he says, some background on my recommendation for Calibre. I watched it knowing nothing, and it was my go-to Netflix movie recommendation for a while, as I was really taken with it. Then he also says, Terry, this will interest you, as a self-proclaimed movie guy, I actually surprisingly also couldn't get through Mank, but absolutely love Devil All the Time when I watch them. So I have high hopes for Andy on this one. Sorry, Terry. So what do you think about
Ryan,
that?
How are you going to do me like that, Ryan?
Hey.
So what did you think of this movie?
I thought it was... good.
It's a good movie. Definitely a good movie.
You know what it was? I actually didn't like the screenplay, essentially. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, for me, when I was looking at it, this kind of seemed to me like a little bit of like my first screenplay sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't even really know what I mean by that, but like it felt like there was a few times, like you kind of said, where they could have just done a little bit more with it. I feel like they kind of had the premise, but
I understand exactly what you're saying.
You
know what I mean? With like my first screenplay, and I will say to you, this is a very good first screenplay, I would say.
Okay.
Like, not every first screenplay is going to be Reservoir Dogs, or it's, you know, like that kind of, you know, like, it's very hard to come out swinging like that. Like, I could see this being a very good building block for something great going forward. Like, the thing where I felt the screenplay kind of let me down was it didn't build on like the stakes, or like after the whole aftermath of the shooting. So maybe we should just go through the plot a little bit, like,
so
because it sets it up quite nice. It sets everything up quite nicely, like that first, you know, it's Vaughn and Marcus is bringing him to go up hunting up the north to Scotland, and
it says an aggressive Edinburgh businessman Marcus takes his boarding school friend Vaughn, whose fiance is pregnant, on a weekend hunting in the Scottish Highlands. Vaughn has never hunted before, so that's essentially the start of it, that he's a bit like, oh, I don't know if I can shoot a deer, and he's like, this is your last chance of freedom before
something like
blah,
that
blah,
like,
blah. He's like, all right, but, I'm sorry, yeah.
Like, that setting of, you know, they check into their lodge, they go to the local pub, immediately they're kind of the outsiders, you know. They're buying IPAs and they're buying La Proig, like, they're flashing their cash, especially, you know, essentially. They meet what seems to be the town elder, this guy, Logan, like, he seems to control everything.
Yeah.
But he seems like an alright skin, and then, like, these two girls show up. They kind of get the looks off everybody. Like, it kind of was to me like, don't go near that girl. She's...
yeah.
There's like a skinhead in the corner who she has a history with or something like that.
Eyeing them up the whole time.
But like, that scene where like they're getting more and more pissed, and then everybody's dancing in the pub.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was the song?
I don't know.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up now. But like, when they were dancing that, like, I had like the hairs on my arms...
ooh.
We're standing on edge, because I was like, wow, this is such a, like, I've been in that thing before, like, down the country in Ireland.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, it's
like another
world.
It's not
a disco. It's not a disco, but a pub has now turned into, like,
yeah.
They just turned the music up and everybody's up dancing. I don't know. Yeah. It's just like, I was like, wow, this is really kind of...
you were feeling it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean. Like, you kind of want, that's what I look for now in a movie, is I want some sort of way for it to break through to me.
Yeah.
And it, like, it did at that point, and even the point where, you know, they're out hunting the next day, and when he, you know, takes the shot.
And well, that's the other thing, and this is why I think, sorry to interrupt you, but that's why I even think I was sort of coming at it from the point of view of, like, my first screenplay, because I feel like in all, in a lot of people's first screenplays, I don't think you did this, hopefully not, but, like, there's always seems to be lugging around a dead body. You know what I mean? I feel like that's always a real go-to. That wasn't in yours, was it?
There might have been a point where he had to, like, get rid of dead bodies.
Sorry, I've really put my foot in it this time. I'm sorry. Well, like, yours is, I mean, I think you would be well capable of writing a better screenplay than this one. You know what I mean? Like, I, like,
yeah, but I don't know. Like, there is. Okay, I found the song.
Okay, what is it?
It's called Somewhere in My Heart. Somewhere in my heart.
Oh, tune.
Aztec Camera. There's your outro song. Yeah. But, no, like, if you're doing a kind of genre film like this where, you know, it's somebody who's in over their head and there's a murder that happens, of course you're going to have to, you know, get rid of the body.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's part and parcel of it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, fair enough.
But
I did think when they shot the kid, I was like,
that's the Inside Edge incident where, like, he's going to shoot the deer and the deer moves and it's just like a little flash, and it's like a little flash of a kid, but, like, I was sitting here watching it on the laptop and Faye was watching something on TV and I was like, she's like, are you okay, what's going on? And I was like, she's like, I couldn't answer her for a second. She's like, what's out there happening? I'm like, it's just a movie. Like, is that, what's the phrase? When I tell you I gasped.
Yeah.
That's what the kids say these days.
Is that what they say?
That was me watching this. Like, when I say I gasped.
I'm learning all sorts of things in this part.
But yeah.
Yeah, like, that was. And but you know what I liked about that was that, first of all, they see a deer almost straight away, which was fine, but It was the whole, he's like, I don't want to take the shot. It's like, oh no, it's yours. And then, like, the guy is
your
just
spot,
so
your kill.
Yeah, the guy is just so pushing him to, like, even though his mate isn't really into hunting and doesn't really, you know, morally like it even. He's like, no, go on. But he's a little bit more, he's like the more forceful mate. You know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, no, go on and do it. And so he goes down. But what I like about it is that he's aiming it at the deer, at, like, the part of the deer that you're supposed to hit, like,
yeah.
But then I think he gets worried that, like, he's not going to hit the right spot, so he just aims straight down to the head as the deer is eating the grass. That, and it's like, I'm just going to blow his head off or something.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to aim for the body.
I thought you are.
No, you're not supposed to.
Really?
You're supposed to aim for the head or neck to put it out of its misery straight away. And so the meat that you're going, that if you were going to, you know, cook or whatever, there wouldn't be a bullet through the abdomen.
Because on Meat Eater, they do it the opposite, but maybe they're doing something different. Like, they're doing it for different reasons. I don't know.
On what?
Meat Eater.
What's Meat Eater?
On Netflix. It's a hunting show.
What? You watch this
new season kind of just released. Oh yeah, I've seen every episode. It's about,
you'll watch that show and I would tell you about, like, high quality, like, HBO drama. You're like, what's that?
Never heard of it. I just want to be out in the Colorado mountains just watching someone hunting, you know. But they shoot it at the spot that the guy was aiming at the start, and that's why I thought, yeah, I don't know what the reasons are, but whatever. There was some reason why they didn't do it.
I would have aimed for the abdomen just because I have a better chance of hitting it.
Yeah. There. So I don't know. I kind of thought, maybe is he going for the head just to be like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to get the right spot. I'll just blow his head off or something like that. Maybe I was wrong on that. I don't know. But
yeah,
but
worked,
as a result.
Worked with the kid.
Yeah. So the deer lifts his head up and there's a kid right behind him. The kid just flies. Like, you see the kid for like a split second. Just like, dip. Like, the kid's so, just back.
Very good. Yeah. Very good filmmaking.
And then the kid's dad comes and finds him and he's inconsolable. Sammy, and they're standing there with the guns. And you would just be like, oh, like, my, how must
your,
this
your
feel?
Man plays it very well.
Vaughn?
The guy, Vaughn.
Yeah.
He like plays
he just
that,
looks
like,
broken from the yeah. second that happens. And he just, like, what would and you do? What would
what
you
I'm
do?
What I'm talking about, like, even in the screenplay here, is that he's like, oh, I forgot the ammo for your gun. You're going to have to use my gun.
Yeah.
My 22, because your man is an avid hunter, whatever. So he has, so Marcus has his original gun, and then he has another gun that he's given Vaughn.
Yeah.
And it puts Marcus in the shit with him because it'll be traced back to him.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff that kind of keeps the story propelling. That I found good screenwriting. Like, you know.
You know what? Yeah. Like it's kind of, but it's kind of like one of those things. Like they have to. I do kind of see it that they did have some reason why they couldn't just bolt out of there. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's it. Like
they always had to come back and do something.
And it looks like the dad is going to shoot Vaughn, and then his stomach explodes, and Marcus has like shot him through the back.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, definitely. Like
this guy's unhinged,
Marcus.
Yeah, you just see it in his eyes straight away. I'm like, right, something's up with this guy. Like I was thinking, what's he?
They do allude to him like being on coke.
Yeah, you're not on that again, are you?
Yeah, but like even the first scene, I was like, what is like his energy when they're driving in the car? His energy is real weird.
Yeah.
And it, like,
he's got these kind of like crazy eyes, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, maybe he's on coke from the get-go, like, you know?
Now, my issue with it, this is very similar. This movie is very, and I know this is my pick, this movie is very similar to that Jude Law series, The Island.
6 Day?
Huh?
Is it called The Sixth Day or the...
Was it called... I thought it was just called The Island.
It's... No, it's not.
Hold on.
I'm Googling it. I'm Googling...
The third day. Okay, excuse me.
Sixth Day is, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger and he's cloned.
Of course. The Third Day, yeah. And that was...
Never saw it. Don't spoil it.
I won't, but it was excellent. It was very similar sort of vibes. But I thought this one that there was going to be something. I knew nothing really going into it. I thought there was going to be something with the town, and then when they talked about the solstice festival tomorrow, I was like, "Here we go!" I was like, "Now we're going to get
very much Wicker Man vibes or something." And that is the kind of thing with the screenplay that, like, there's a couple of things they drop in. They talk about like a big hunting lodge just up the way.
Yeah.
As well, I was like, oh, Chekhov's hunting lodge, here we go, we're going to end up at the hunting lodge at some point. Like, nope, not at all, never mentioned again. You're like, oh,
okay,
well, you got me, okay.
So yeah, there's the solstice festival, but I tell you, like,
no, I think the festival was just more to make it that it's like,
it's the
nightlife is going to be livelier than it would be,
right?
Okay. Any other time you visit, like, you know,
I was like, if I'm staying in a town, if we go away somewhere in Ireland, and
I'll try and book us for the next solstice.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if I hear there's a solstice festival tomorrow, I'm out of there.
We're going up to Donegal for the solstice festival.
I mean, I'm sure
it's north is the north.
Yeah. It's like remote, no phones, no electricity, just like a couple of lads out in the wilderness at the solstice festival. Yeah. So I don't know. There's something. It just has connotations. If I would be dubious.
Didn't do enough with that though. You're right. Like, you know, just like, kind of like, oh, it's just a bonfire with a pish up.
Yeah, I was like, okay, something's gonna go down here. There's gonna be some town like thing. Well, we have to keep this town, you know, picturesque.
They're kind of, well, they do like a real life version of that. Like it never borders into like, maybe it may, I don't know, it's too grounded, it's too gritty, it's too real life to go into that. But they kind of have it where it's like, we all, you know, slave to keep this town going. Logan here is, you know, his family have kept it going for so long, and like he's kind of tied in with the whole, like, if I give you my card to Marcus, because Marcus is an investment banker, like, maybe, you know, things will happen that way, you know, that kind of thing. Like, but yeah, like, again, and it was kind of, I think after, so like they hide the bodies, they go back to the town, they have dinner, oh, but they were like, oh, we have to be seen somewhere else.
Yeah, so that was the thing. Like, you just after burying them, after you've killed a dad and the kid.
But they hadn't buried them at this point. It was like they just moved them, and then it was like they have to be seen in a different part
or
hunting.
Yeah, or it'll look weird, like, or it'll look suspicious. And they had to sit at dinner. I don't know if that was the next bit, or but like
that was the next bit where they like so they go up to this like place in the middle of nowhere just to say like we were here.
Yeah.
They come back down and then they go for dinner and it's like the venison, like bloody as hell. Yeah. Like, so it was good. It was good. Like puking.
Was good. Like, sounded
just,
real.
He's just like, he's drinking red wine and he's puking up the venison blood.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a bunch of red coming out. It was good.
Quite visceral looking.
Yeah, I appreciated that. Like, that was Vaughn. He couldn't hack it.
Yeah. And then they go.
But then they have to go to bury the bodies in the middle of the night, like.
But then, like, he also has to try and, like, dig his bullet out of the kid's head. Like, yeah. They'll match my bullet to the gun.
But that again, like, that's good. I thought, like, you know.
And you know,
like,
what? You get. I'll tell you what. It was only when I sort of seen the first 20 minutes, and then they're lugging these bodies around. I was like, this seems a bit too where I would go with it. Not counting into the fact that I wouldn't have thought of all the other interesting plot points. So I think you're kind of winning me back around, to be honest, just from talking to you. But
I thought the scene where they're kind of fighting, and then like he just has Marcus has the knife up Vaughn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, like he literally could just be like.
Yeah,
like, and he'd be done. And he's like, just fucking stop, come on, like.
It was very what you would do, very real. Yeah, like, you know, it was.
And like, he was like, ever since this happens, you've been a fucking liability. And I was like, yeah, he kind of has, like, you know, like, might have been Marcus's fault that like they're in the situation, but like, he didn't pull the trigger. Mm. Like Vaughn is the one that killed the kid.
I still was looking at Mark. I wasn't blaming Vaughn at all throughout this whole thing because he didn't want to take the shot. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I know. But
he has been a liability.
Yeah, but then afterwards, like he was just like,
Yeah, yeah.
I guess what would you do? Like, what would you do?
If I shot a kid and I'm standing over the corpse.
Yeah. Go to pieces. I'd be the Marcus.
If this was the dynamic, if this was me and you, you would be Marcus and I would be Vaughn. And you would be shooting the dad in the back.
Andy, we gotta go.
Terry, we can't do this. But
if anything, I'd be worse than Marcus.
Yeah. What would I'd you be like?
Get a hold of yourself.
there'd be a lot more shaking and slapping. Yeah. For God's sakes, man.
Fuck's sake, Andy.
I'm digging this fucking bullet out of this kid's head. And you're not gonna stop me. Capiche? Yeah, what would you do though? Like, I mean, he did a very good job of playing it, but like, oh god, like we wouldn't want to do anything, let alone have to play up to, you know, going out and having a conversation with someone and all this.
The weird thing, I was listening to a podcast on Fargo,
yes,
the movie, and they were talking about how like Fargo, you know, it bases itself as like a true crime,
yeah,
and it was like. It kind of almost is the precursor to all these true crime podcasts and so, even though it's not.
Yeah.
But it's such low stakes, you know, it's such a like low key crime. It's like one person gets kidnapped and killed. It's not like a huge, big serial conspiracy. Killer, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they were kind of saying, like, do you think, they were talking about it on the podcast, like, do you think you could get away with murder when you watch these or listen to these true crime podcasts? Stuff like, do you ever think about how would I get away with this or whatever like that? Like, so when I was watching something like this, I was like, what would I do? And I was like,
what would you do?
I think he's doing all the right things here, Marcus. You know what I mean? Like,
I maybe would have dragged them somewhere a little less obvious. Like, they buried them right in the middle, right on the side of the main like pathway there. Take him 20, drag him 20 feet into the depth of the woods a bit more. Like, they were right on the pathway. No wonder they found them. Like,
well, they only found them because of the dog.
Yeah, but like, still, they would have been. Like a, you could see. You could just be walking past. Well, that ground's been disturbed.
Yeah,
you know.
But they didn't have time. That's the thing. Like, we got to do this.
They could have dragged them 20 feet.
I know. Like, I can sympathize with them. And the whole plan was they were supposed to be gone, but then your man's, you know, the next day, because Marcus
was with that floozy.
So do you think it was because they kind of blew them off on the second night that she was like then saying to the,
I think
the
they
brothers
were just,
or whatever?
I think they were just there to cause trouble. That's what I could. That's,
well,
that's
I mean, the
I
other
thought.
Girl, the other girl seemed quite nice.
Her, yeah, but the, yeah, but yeah, the main one, I thought she had some weird thing. She was trying to make her boyfriend jealous, and
yeah, she loves
looking,
trouble.
Looking for trouble, yeah, exactly.
He filled her full of coke.
Yeah, so he gets his ass kicked, and then his car is like, he
slashed.
Punctures the tires, so they can't go anywhere.
I love how as well, like they're like, hey, take him to the garage or whatever, and we'll get it fixed. Like, nobody's paying for it. None of these hooligans in the town are paying for it. It's like, Marcus is like, yeah, whatever, 550, I'll pay it.
Yeah.
To get me out of here. Like,
it's like, 550, and you get it done today. It's like, 550, and I'll do it when I fucking like.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Just fucking. You know,
I want to go. I mean, at that stage, I would just start walking.
No.
I would just start walking.
Andy, like,
just get me out of there. Let me feel like I'm moving away from there. Don't make me sit there and hope I'm gonna get out tomorrow. I'm just gonna keep walking until I find somewhere.
These people have vans and cars. They live all around there. They're gonna get you. Like,
yeah, but at that stage, they wouldn't be looking for me. You know what I mean? It's like, where is he? Oh, he's gone out hunting again or whatever. But meanwhile, I'm up the A27. Or whatever it would be in England or Scotland.
I don't agree with your logic. I think,
what would you do? Stay there? With your hand on your dick and wait to get caught?
Well, there's not much else they could have done. Like you say, start walking. Like, it was midday, he said, but if you start walking, you're not going to get anywhere. Like, look, they're in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, yeah. Fair dues.
Unless there's a bus that goes from the town, and it doesn't seem like there's any public transport.
Yeah, very.
You can't be like asking. It can't be like, where's the nearest bus? And they're like, why would you need a bus? You have a Jeep. Like,
the Jeep will be ready tomorrow. What's happened?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I did,
you know?
Like the whole thing when they realised then that they were missing, and it was like, oh, my nephew's missing. And then your man, he's like, what time were they due back? And he's like, they? And I was like, oh, shit, he's put his foot in it this time.
That was good.
Yeah,
well, I just assumed, you know.
Yeah, I assumed he didn't go alone.
Logan said that he was 13, I think.
I was like, he didn't say what age he was. And all this sort of stuff. So I liked that. That was good.
It's good. Like, some good scenes.
Then,
your man playing, I think it's Logan's brother, who's like, who had fucking headbutted him, split his nose open. And like,
where have I seen him from?
I don't know. Who, Logan?
No, the
brother.
Yeah.
Like, Logan has been in a good few things. He was in, most recently I watched him in Your Honor, that Bryan Cranston show.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty good in the show. As I think about it more, it's like, the acting was quite good. It was a crappy, crappy show, though.
Like, I watched it in an episode or two, and I was kind of like, it's not giving
Never went where it could have went to be really good, like, to be honest.
It's a shame they didn't match Bryan Cranston's skills.
Yeah, exactly. And more like, what is he doing? But when he even, like, at one point, because he cut your man's nose when he headbutted him.
Yeah.
Cut Marcus's nose. And then he, like, reaches across and, like, puts his finger in the wound or something, and like, and grabs at his nose, twists his nose, and like, fuck off, like,
get me out, get me out of here.
I wanna go home.
And you really do get the vibe, like, that it's just like, I could just so put myself in that position, because it was such an innocent mistake that, like, it really could have happened to anyone, you know.
Like, would you have gone to the police?
I think if it happened right away, I mean, it would have complicated things, you shooting them in the back, but after shooting the kid, I would have gone to the police.
If say it was just the kid out for a walk and there was no dad with him, that for me to shoot in the back, like,
yeah, I'd have to. I couldn't live with myself.
Yeah, but once we've killed the dad, we're in too deep.
The dad's gone, now the plan changes a little bit. Now we're in way too deep.
Yeah.
Then I probably would have gone for some sort of burial, yes. But
did I interest you in some sort of burial?
But then it kind of gets to, right, they go to the solstice festival and all this sort of stuff, looking super suspicious. I was thinking, could they not be a bit more casual? They're just shifting, looking around like, look, no, at him, but look, like, at them, look at them.
But they're the talk of the town. They're after being in a big fucking bust up. Like, of course they're going to look shifty.
Yeah, but you didn't.
And like, even, they're like, everybody's waiting for you. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, I know. I just wouldn't want to. And then they go looking for them, and then that's when they kind of get to the dog.
They go out for like a search, because it's Logan's
nephew.
It's his nephew and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And then the Jeep's fixed. They let them drive out in the Jeep.
At that point, would you not be like, at that point, definitely, I'd be like, just fucking bomb it.
But that I think they do the right thing here. If the Jeep doesn't break down, because like, I was like, there's probably a car behind them. They can't just like swerve away without being chased.
Yeah.
But they do the thing where it's like they let everybody go, find the things, and then there's enough distance between them that like if the Jeep is working well,
they can make
you're
it
away
down.
In a hat. You're done. There's no catching you. Like,
yeah, because as soon as they found the bodies in the ground,
they kind of just
they
like
bolt
back away. Yeah.
And then someone's like, they're gone. So then you know that like it's them. And that whole chase. Now I will say the chase, I was a bit like, ooh.
Yeah. The car stops working and it's like, get out. And then like the dog chasing them.
The dog is so much faster than them.
Yeah. The dog is so fast. And I was like, yeah, that's very believable. Actually, I think the dog would be that.
Yeah.
And so, it's trained. This is what it's trained to do. Exactly. Trained to fucking attack things. Like,
but I did really like when they ended up like catching Vaughn and the other guy.
Marcus gets away.
But I did like the scene when he's confessing, when they have him in the chair or whatever, and like, but it's just silent.
They drop out the audio.
Yeah,
it's good.
But you can see he's confessing, and they're all yelling at him, and it's a big scene, and he's crying and all this, but you don't hear anything. I did think that was a good touch. Now I will say,
and then like that farmhouse that they're at, I'm like, nope, no, thank you. Oh Lord,
I know. Oh, at some stage though, like if you've see. I have to say as well, like that's how they tie that bow of him not being like, just fucking kill me, because he's got the fiance who's pregnant.
But that's the thing, you know, they keep talking about the baby and the fiance. Yeah. You know, they put that out at the start, and as we mentioned, he mentions it to Iona, who is related to Logan, I guess. Like when you think something might happen between the two of them, he's like, I have to tell you, I have a fiance with a baby and stuff.
Mm.
And he's like, I should have told you earlier. This is like the first night. And she's like, no, I had fun tonight. It says, I've had a boring week. We had a nice night. Like,
yeah.
He seemed like he's a genuinely good skin. And like, Logan has talked to him about being a dad and stuff. That's kind of been layered all the way through.
Yeah, because otherwise,
that's the only thing that saves him.
They could have easily had that character just be like, just shoot me then. Whatever. Like, I feel terrible that I killed this kid.
Just fucking kill me.
And so then they're like, we're gonna let you go, whatever. But he has to. They end up catching.
He has to kill
Marcus, who they have like.
I didn't think he was gonna do it. Like, to the point, because he's not gonna do it. And then like Logan and his brother. Is it his brother? Or there's like Logan and there's Al.
A few, yeah.
And then they all kind of turn their backs, and then the really fucking angry brother, he cocks the gun.
Yeah.
And Vaughn still has the gun in his hand. Marcus
More
is
trigger
like,
lessons for Vaughn. Like, he didn't want to be, didn't even want to come here. Like,
yeah. And then, like, Marcus is like tied up, like a stuffed pig. And then, like, he kind of gives him a look to say, like,
he didn't give him the look. Like, he didn't give him the look quick enough, I'll say.
No. He let him sweat for a while.
He's like, are you really going to do this? Because he's seen the sort who would be like, don't do this. You know,
it was only when your man showed up with the shotgun beside Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus is like, right, well, he's going to kill you. You may as well kill me.
Yeah.
Like, just gave him that little nod or whatever.
But then, like,
your man, then, like, when, like, so Vaughn shoots Marcus.
Yeah.
And then, like, your man spits in his face.
I know, like, that was the ultimate knacker. Like you've just done like probably
unspeakable thing.
The worst moment of your life, or like
one twice over in the space of 3 days. Like,
and then after that, like you think, oh, it's done. Like spat in the face. Like, oh,
and you can't. You get no satisfaction. You can't get back at this prick. Like,
yeah, like that's it. You just have to take.
Just go take it, and then like your man. Basically, Logan is telling them what the story's going to be. Your wife came to collect you.
Yeah.
Marcus drove up north, and then our relatives went missing. Keep it like that. Like.
And then, like, your one, like, his missus then comes to pick him up. And, like, this poor fucking
He has, like, bruises all over him, though, as well. Like,
she's like, good weekend. It's like, good weekend.
She's like, what happened?
Well, I shot a kid. My mate shot his dad. Then the town was going to shoot me if I didn't kill my mate, and we got no deer. That was your weekend.
Pretty good. Days on the blink.
But then at the end, it's like, okay, the kid's born, and he's like, you know, shell of a man as he's like rocking the baby back to sleep.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the camera.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy on that.
Ruined it.
I actually quite like the fact that when she just woke up, he's already just like sitting up, like he can't sleep. Like,
he's not getting any sleep.
If after anything, what he's done. I would have just preferred them do a shot of him maybe like just going into the bedroom and like standing over looking at the child.
Yes.
And like leave it like that. Like, yeah. You know?
It was, I don't need the thousand yard stare.
You've already done it like 5 times over in the movie. Like,
wasn't a fan of that. So, and that left a bit of a sour taste for me, I'm not going to lie. But. You know what, overall, like I said, I thought it was good. And to be honest, hearing you dissect the screenplay in a more sort of structured way makes me, I do appreciate it a little bit more than I think I initially gave it credit for.
I don't know what it is. Like, say when they bury the body to like when they end up in the farmhouse, it was taking all these ways that like, I was like, well, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And like, that can be a good thing, but also wasn't like that patch of like half an hour. It's only an hour 40. So it's like half an hour in the middle of it where I was like, oh, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're going to a garage. We're going to do like, it was okay. It was effective like for the screenplay, but I was like, maybe I wanted something different.
You wanted more.
Yeah. I wanted a bit more escalation or something like that. Like,
well, would you care to give me a rating for it, Terry?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Oh, lucky 7.
It was a good movie. I think I'd have it ahead of In the Tall Grass just because it made me feel
okay.
More like it, like the points, especially that like the kill.
It
was like very, I was like,
yeah.
Like, few I movies really like make taken you do that. Back. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's very few movies I'm watching there where I audibly gasp.
If you can affect your physical state from your story,
make my wife think something is wrong with me.
Something is horribly, horribly wrong in what has already been a frankly rotten month.
Yeah.
What now?
As opposed to In the Tall Grass was a bunch of fun.
Yeah.
But
a little bit lighter, on substance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a bit messy in the Tall Grass, but it was fun. Whereas this one I thought was good, but could have been great with a little bit more. Okay, like, so literally after the first 20 minutes or so, I was like, is this going to be my number one? Like, and then
it kind of
dissipated dips. For me, you know?
Well, that's 7th for you.
Hmm, okay.
So it is ahead of In the Tall Grass, White Tiger, No One Gets Out Alive, and There's Someone Inside Your House. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to put it 6th on mine, just under Tall Grass. Ooh. So ahead of White Tiger, Roman, No One Gets Out Alive, Someone Inside Your House, and Mike.
Still, you'll like never get over Mank.
This whole series, I feel like, if nothing else, Mank was a experience. I'll say that. It was an experience that I've never had watching a movie where I'm just like, I know I'm watching an English-speaking movie. I know they're saying things, and what he said does relate. Yeah, but actually that was
the problem. The words, but they're not making sense.
I was like, is this someone big art piece? Where it's like, you think they're saying real things, but actually, if you watch a whole thing from start to finish, it doesn't actually make any fucking sense at all.
It's like that in The Simpsons where Homer is really sleep-deprived and he's watching Robert Evans talk, and he's like, Buffalo Baby box office. And he's like, you see, they're the ones that are crazy, not me. Ah, the little movie that could.
Yes. Well, nonetheless, I I think that's my last pick now.
So we got one more left in this mini series.
Oh, you gonna tell my me last? You gonna tell me what the next one is?
Next week.
Now, I realize I've just accepted that, like, you're just going to tell me what it is. I mean, is there any discussion here?
No. Nope.
Okay.
I've got the next two lined up.
Okay. How many episodes? Tell me that.
It's 10 in this one.
Okay.
10 in the next one. And I think it's either 10, 11, or 12. I can't remember.
What a commitment. Terry, okay. Answer me this.
Shut up. Okay,
just answer me this: am I going to enjoy watching them, or is this a torture? Another torture experiment?
Because I can't enjoy them. I think you're going to enjoy them.
Since we switched, and now I've been a big fan of the podcast since we've done the switch from Put It in H to What's So Great About. But I can barely. I'm having a near panic attack on Sunday night, and I haven't watched a movie. I'm like, okay, look, Kerry, we've a movie to watch tonight. I'll try and finish it if you go to sleep, and then we have to watch another one then tomorrow because the podcast's on Tuesday. I'm like this. So
yeah, but look,
if they're
it's rare these days that we're doing a two movie week. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Like the Eternals was, you know, it was time.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah. So next week is the last one in our What's So Great About Netflix. And it is, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. Now, Andy.
Yes?
I'll tell you, I have already seen this movie.
You motherfucker. That's not allowed. Change it. That's not allowed.
No.
Excuse me, that's not allowed.
The reason why I picked it is, I want to watch it again.
Oh, Terry.
And I want somebody else to talk about it with me and see if I can make sense of it. See if you can make sense of it.
Terry,
see,
do you have any idea how much I wanted to rewatch that movie that I saw about the fucking the floor that comes down through all the levels? I think it's called Levels.
It's called The Platform.
Whatever, The Platform. I think it's called Levels anyway. kind of lost my thunder there, but The Platform. I'd love for you to have watched The Platform. I'd love to see it again.
Yeah,
it's so much better than any of my other pigs.
Yeah, okay, whatever. The reason why, I understand. The reason why I'm
just saying, okay,
I need to watch it again.
Okay.
To make hide nor hair of it. And I think I need somebody to watch it with me,
okay,
to also help me understand it. Yeah, but like if you're not the guy, maybe even me trying to discuss it with you will help both of us.
Okay,
you know, there's a point to it. I'm not just arbitrarily picking this movie.
Okay, I 100%. I don't ever think that you're arbitrarily picking a movie. You have many reasons.
Yes.
Why, you know, I will arbitrarily. My picks have been completely arbitrary for this series.
Yours are. It was 90 minutes? Okay.
Yep. Yep. This will show them. 71 minutes. Perfect.
Hey, I watched a movie that was 77 minutes there recently.
Amazing.
It was called Shiva Baby. Oh. And it's about a girl who goes to, like, Shiva is like a Jewish wake.
Right.
After a funeral. And it is literally, it's set in the house. It's almost set in real time, pretty much, give or take. And it's like she is in grad school, I think, and she's going with her parents, and she's like having an affair with somebody who actually shows up, who knows her parents. She didn't realize that she knew this guy or whatever. And it brings back so many memories of like being a teenager and being at like a funeral and be like, ah, Andy, yeah, yeah. You know, like, ah, Jay, you're getting taller. Jeez, where you're so skinny, or like, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, you're so, and like,
definitely wouldn't be saying that.
Ratcheted up 10 times fold to almost like horror movie style, because it's like the Jewishness of it, I'll say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's written and directed by somebody who's Jewish, but like they kind of crank up these like staccato strings when, you know, people are like closing in, or it makes you feel like really, really right. Fucking claustrophobic, really like anxiety.
Is this a Netflix original?
This was on Mubi, so it's one of my art house picks.
Oh,
but really good.
It's a shame we can't watch that one. 77 minutes. What a dream. Would you not, if you saw a movie before you went onto it was 77 minutes, would you think, oh, well, I'll still watch it? Or would you think,
ooh. Yeah, I'd be more the first one. I'd be like, right. Why is it only 77 minutes?
Right.
It seems like they barely got a movie out of this thing.
I will say, I can't remember a movie that I've watched that I haven't pressed up on the remote control in the middle of it to see the bar as to how long is left. You know what I mean? I'll always do it once or twice.
Yeah, I think that's a natural thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think it is a case where you're like, hold on, let me see how long I've left on this thing.
But I feel like you would do it more for like, oh, there's only 45 minutes left. How are they going to get, going to resolve that plot point?
Like I say, I don't.
Okay.
Like sometimes I'm like, oh, this is a bit of a slog. Oh, good, there's only 20 minutes left.
Okay. You know you're in the home.
I'm sorry for my throat, guys.
I was going to say, I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Look, it's been a long month. I'm falling apart. You're lucky you're getting me tonight at all, let's be honest.
Absolutely. Well, look, on that note, I'm going to get our plugs in quickly. You can find us on social media, on Twitter at WSGAPod and on Instagram at What's So Great About Podcast, where you'll find a link to everything we do. We have some video podcasts, our latest episode, and the Patreon.
The Patreon. Now, Andy.
Yes?
For the low, low fee of $5 a month, €4.50 in euros, and we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
You get 4 bonus episodes from us over there behind the paywall. We've got all our, you know, former What's So Great About miniseries locked in the vault behind there. You get access to them. You get Marvel. You get What's So Great About 90s Action. You get What's So Great About Ryan Gosling. And What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's bad movies.
It really sounded like you were going to say Will Smith's penis there. A.k.a. Will Smith's bad movies.
Blessed penis. You also get like a bunch of like random bonus episodes. Like we just did an album review on Bad Outta Hill to coincide with celebrating Meatloaf's life. We've done like top 5 soundtracks. The Bad Outta Hell one was very fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if you like to listen to us, there's a lot of stuff on there we're not reviewing things as well. So you can find us, we're pitching each other movie ideas that we've come up with. We're trying to get each other into the music that we like, or, you know, talking about top acting performances that we like and all that sort of good stuff.
Yeah, so like that, like it, there's a lot of great stuff on the Patreon there. Our best stuff, I would say, when we're not restricted. Like, don't get me wrong, I love talking about movies and doing stuff like that, but like when we just kind of get a bit giddy and go a bit rambly,
yeah,
you know, it's very fun.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
So all that stuff is over there. Now, if you can't afford to give me the $5 for 15 euros, you can do something else for me. You can give me a rating or a view. Now, Andy, did you happen to catch the make or model of the Calibre?
It was a 22, wasn't it, Terry?
it was a 22, and 2 plus 2 equals 4. But I don't want a 4-star rating. I want a 5-star review. Do us a favor. On Apple, on Spotify. Spotify is the new one. You can, you know. I mean, Joe Rogan could be on his way out. We could take that money, Andy.
A slot is about to open up for your boys.
Finally. Finally. I say a bit of comeuppance. He'll be fine, I'm sure. But like,
I got loads. I don't even want to get into it. I have loads of thoughts on that, but I don't want to. I'm just sick of it. I'm just sick of it all.
Why? Come on, hit me. You don't tell me you're with Joe Rogan.
I tell you what, I stopped listening to Joe Rogan at the start of COVID because I didn't. He was a bit too, you know, like we saw Bill Burr, like, oh, you're such a tough guy with your open nose and throat. He was a bit like
you're
that.
You're a pussy. Huh?
But I just stopped listening to it. But I think this whole, it seems a little weird. Like, you know what I mean? Normally when there's this level of uproar, I'm seeing, like, I've never seen so much Joe Rogan on my timeline. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, look at all this. Like, it was a couple of but like, there's so much misinformation out there. You know what I mean? On big mainstream, you know. So I just think, you know, this whole thing of Neil Young pulling his music.
He shouldn't have.
But he apologized, like, as well. So it's kind of like, it doesn't excuse everything. But like, that, no. You know, he said sorry. He said he's going to try and be more balanced. Like, you know,
they've had to pull 70 of his episodes for him using the N word, Andy. I mean, come on.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, like, that's not good.
He put out a video actually today apologizing for
it. It's fucking crazy.
For all these N-word things.
He's like, oh, I would just use it in conversation. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I've no opinion on that really yet. I didn't see the compilation.
The biggest insult is he's terrible.
Well, this is the thing, like, I think this is
put a thing on Twitter where it was like him and Jordan Peterson interview.
Jordan Peterson, like,
really terrible quality podcast interview. Like, just conversations or sentences or whatever going nowhere. And I was like, they're paying this guy a fucking $1 billion or whatever they fucking gave him. Like,
see, like, I get it.
Awful content.
I definitely get why people don't like him anyway. Like, I stopped listening to him because I didn't really enjoy the podcast anymore. But I'm in general, like, I know it's different when it reaches a level that so many people listen to it that it can be dangerous if you're giving the wrong information. But I also don't think that he deliberately tried to spread misinformation.
I disagree with you there.
Ooh,
I do.
Okay. Well, look,
I do.
I don't know.
I think it's kind of like
he was definitely leaning more towards the way of the controversial guest.
I'm stirring the pot. You know what I mean? Like, and I do kind of think that he deliberately was trying to muddy the waters and put out disinformation so it would get a particular person to listen to his show. That's my opinion.
What do you see? I also think, like, I don't necessarily want to hear anti-vaxxers or anything like that or any, like, dopes. I do believe that he was leaning that way anyway, and he was a bit like, oh, you guys think this really? Well, you know, this is actually the way it is. There was a bit like that.
Like, all that shit about, like, oh, inject this into your body or whatever. You know, this fucking horse tranquilizer.
Sometimes I do want to hear an opinion of someone who's thinks, not necessarily anti-vax, but just isn't on the same mainstream narrative, right, like that. Like,
100% understand that.
And I just don't really... Censorship just doesn't really... I don't think... Like, just don't listen to it. Like, now, I had this conversation with Kerry, and she's like, no, you can't just say don't listen to it because...
I think the platform
for people
is
like
too big.
Me and you, that's fine, but there's a bunch of idiots out there. And like, so like to be honest,
she's
I don't...
Smart lady. Smart lady. Is
she
that
is.
Kerry?
She is all right. So, you know, I don't know. I just think it's all a bit... I feel like there's more to it than just... There's been a few things said on the podcast. It feels like there's a bit of a... I don't know. A shitstorm deliberately.
He brought it on himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's not really that likable anymore, I will say.
I can't believe how unlikable he's become. When he was like UFC...
I feel like he's handled it. I feel like he's handled the whole thing fairly well.
I don't know. The thing is, you'll always see these elite he has his elite buddies, like somebody like The Rock coming out and being like, "Oh, yeah, speaking truth to power," and then like some like a Don Winslow, an author who
I've seen him apologizing, The Rock apologizing for something today. Is that what you're about to say?
Yeah. So Don Winslow he's an author. I've read a good few of his books. Really good. He writes crime fiction, but he's also in the last few years like kind of been like very outspoken of Trump and the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And like posting kind of these videos of like, look, here's like a tax return or whatever, like, you know, of Trump or, you know, facts, posting these facts and kind of, you know, like Trump was very much like, oh, we love this person and they love me and, you know, all the, and he'd be like, well, he just said X, Y, and Z and I'm going to show you a piece of paper that contradicts exactly what he said, you know. And he basically said it to The Rock that it was like, here's a list of the amount of times that he's used the N-word. And then The Rock was like, oh, I wasn't aware of this Mahalo, brother. You know, like, that's, you know, I'll try to be more informed next time and stuff like that. Like,
of all the times that Joe Rogan said the words, the N-word?
Yeah, the N-word. Right. It was just like, here's like a citation of a bunch of times where he said it.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, thank you for educating me. But again, like, real, like, fake. You know what I mean? The Rock
seen,
is like,
yeah,
fake.
But like, he's, I seen fake. Him apologizing to someone specifically. And like, I was like, what did he say? What did he do that he needs to apologize for?
That was, I think that's because it was like, he's like, oh, we'll drink tequila over this.
Yeah.
Oh. And the man had kind of posted a response being like, I'm surprised to see you back in this guy after
I saw something. I thought it was a woman he was
maybe
about it was
something. Maybe there is something else, but
I don't know.
Anyway, but we're getting as bad as Rogan and Peterson here, rambling.
I know. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm just sick of the whole thing, to be honest.
Get it, cut off his head. That's what I say.
It's weird because I listened to it so much throughout my 20s. And like it was a different show back then. Like he was different.
And when like I was like big into UFC, like I was loving him as a analyst and stuff like that. Mm. It's kind of evolved into something
bigger
and more hateful. Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Anyway,
but it's not for me. Anyway, I don't listen. Anyway, yeah. But yeah.
So give us a rating and review on Spotify or on iTunes. Or tell a friend, tag a friend, you know, do all that good stuff on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, you know.
Do it all, please.
Yeah, do it all. Do all our marketing for us, please.
That'd be great.
And if you made it this far, thank you very much. You're doing the Lord's work,
mm-hmm.
as always.
I love you.
And he loves you. And you get the big L from me once you're behind the paywall. And we will see you next week for our finale of What's So Great About Netflix.
And the reveal of the next series. Exciting. Yes. Slash
gonna be fun. So we'll see you next week for I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Goodbye. Somewhere in my heart, there is a star that shines for you.
closest thing.